Did you guys connect with God? Stay connected with Him. It doesn't only happen in worship. Well, hopefully it stays the same in the sermon, but stay connected with the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I think that seems so simple sometimes, but it's such a massive key for our lives. Emmanuel, His Spirit, daily with us. And that the Spirit of that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. Now today is Consecration Sunday, as I said, and I'll explain a bit about that. I don't want to say too much. I actually want us to go over and we're going to have communion together and just some connection time individually with God. Like with the awesome thing my wife did and handed out in serving in church. Our lives and our spiritual lives is one that does not begin where you tick the box, but it starts off in the heart and it starts in the spirit. It's many a time something and you think, oh man, this is something I want to do. And it's never news to God because He birthed it. He placed that seed in your heart in the first place. And when it comes to consecration, and if there's something that God's going to put on your heart later on, just to consecrate, to bring to Him, to lay at His feet, trust for the things that He's already placed in there. For the seeds that He's already placed in there. So thank You, Lord, that we will hear Your voice. And the voice of another, we will not follow. Not the voice of religion, not the voice of pressure, not the voice of the flesh, but the voice, the still small voice of the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. Last week, and praise God, I'm not going to repeat everything, but I shared about a vision for this year, and our Shofar's vision is God's building. In other words, God is building. And I said to you guys that you can go to the next slide. Thanks. God is constantly building in our lives. He's constantly busy in Stephen's life on any and probably every of those spheres or areas. Stephen, body, soul, spirit. Stephen, family. Stephen, extended bigger family to be one day soon. Stephen, church community. That lovely, lovely job that he's currently got. No, all jokes aside, but in everything God is building and God is busy. And then Stephen in the nations, what is God saying to Stephen? And we need to always reflect and say, Lord, where are You? Otherwise, we can get a bit confused. It's good to know the mind map. It's good to know the plan. We said to each other last week, you've got your plans for this year and the season and future. We've got friends that really, they sort it. They've got their 6 months plans. They've got their year. They've got their 5 year planning, their 10 year and their 20 year planning. Financially, where to live, where to work, what steps, what. And there's nothing wrong with planning, hear my heart. But I've noted one thing of following Christ is that man may make his plans, but God will direct his footsteps. I'm going to say this again. I've got nothing against 20 year, 30 year, 40 year planning. But I've noted that as more as God takes me into a place of becoming childlike, the less my plans become. Well, sometimes I do have a lot of plans, but they don't come to fruition because it's not His. So we've got plans, and that's great. God's given us dreams, and He's given us the ability to make plans, but are these plans His plans? And that's where we're at. Currently, we're just shaking a bit, shaking our boxes and saying, Lord, got these aspirations, I've got these dreams, and then these things that also excite my spirit. Which of them is Your plans? And last week, just as an intro, we said, unless the Lord builds the house, unless He's got the blueprint, unless He makes the plans, the laborers labor over it in vain. In other words, we build in vain. Whatever we do, if it's not with God, is in vain. It's vanity. Vanity also, I think it's what the Hebrew says, that it is uselessness. It's really not worth much. Because remember, who are we? We're Christians. What does that mean? We believe that we are here for a season, and then we go home. We're pilgrims only on a journey. And the journey, the end of the journey is not Hermanus, it's not Kleinmond, and it's not Hortenbos either. The journey should be heaven. The journey is not retirement, up until the retirement or massive goals in life. That may be a step. Hermanus may be a step. Hortenbos may be a step. But heaven is home. That's where we're going to settle down. Amen, AB? One day, not yet. Both ABs. Now, today I'm going to speak consecration and what that means. And it was so amazing how God just chose the songs, and especially that last one. Because when you get into this place, and Edna, I think, just so correctly, that just maybe placed the finger on a sensitive spot, that if you struggle to believe in God's goodness, or even that He is a loving, good Father at all, we should actually just quickly stop here first. Because what I'm going to share, I share out of a place of a conviction and a knowing and the evidence in my life that God is really super, super, super awesome. His ways are not always easy or perfect for my flesh. But God is a good God. So don't be too hard on yourself either. So if I go on and I say, well, what are you willing to give? What are you willing to lay down? And you already struggled with this thing in your shoe, this little reclaimed clippy in your schoon, this irritation of, man, I don't trust this God thing. Be honest. It's a great, honest place to start. Please don't stop me now and shout it out. But afterwards, chat to me. Chat to someone and say, look here, this guy makes, I want to say nice sounds, but he makes a couple of sounds. But really, I just don't get this good thing. And then this weird God actually wants something from me as well. Be honest. You'll be surprised of what can happen if you're honest about that. It's like Clippy. That little rock, that little irritation gets taken out of your emotional shoe. How much easier it'll be to run and to catch the things of God. So please, let's do that. We're going to share about a little boy, and you guys all know the story. And in context, it is just a small story, I believe, that can stir our expectation. What happens when your expectation is stirred? It means you've got faith for something. If the Boca goes into the semifinals of the World Cup and you have no expectation whatsoever, it means what? You don't have faith that they can actually beat the All Blacks. I had a bit of an expectation. I had a bit of faith. It was a worldly, fleshy thing, and obviously it didn't come to much. But the bottom line is I was quite excited when I watched the game. Sometimes we look at the game of life and we don't have much expectation of what God can do. I want to say, can I get an amen to that? Because I believe it's the truth, but rather not amen to that. We need to be honest. Do I actually have an expectation that this Father of mine can pull through the game? Is He the God, the one that I serve, is He the God of the Bible? Is He the one that I know? Expectation. I must say, I think it's not easy always to be married to me. I've got maybe a lot of expectations of the Lord. I kind of lose track to what I can handle as well. It's like a guy having a city golf that is dropped and that he petered with the engine, and he thinks a lot of his own car and that he can just take on anybody out there. I come from Belva, by the way, so both the rugby and the speed analogy. I'm not going to use a female one or drinking either, but maybe just these things. Hy dink baie van sy kar. Hy dink hy kan enige BMW aanvat op die pad. The bottom line is sometimes my expectations are a bit ahead of me, but rather that than having none whatsoever. Rather having some crazy expectations and dreams of God than just going through life without that. Imagine how dull and boring it is not to know that your God can do something supernatural in any given situation or moment of your life. What a boring life. Last week, Isaiah 64, we read, the God that can do the unexpected. Who still believes that God can do the unexpected? Bands like, there's not a rollball club here, nie, carols. Seriously, if you come to me and say, well, I'd like you to play my team. I've got an expectation of you and the way that you play and the way that you do. I'm not going to feel the confidence. So guys, yeah. Sorry, let me not get too carried away. I apologize. We're at church, eh? Joke. That was a grappie. Let's read the story. The fourth sign, feeding 5,000. Now, just by the way, who of you originally come from Gauteng? Great. Who lives close to the sea? Who's got family in Gauteng that knows that you live close to the sea? How was your December? Sometimes it feels like feeding the 5,000. Have you ever had that? Well, let's read it in that context. I thought it very funny earlier this morning, but let's read the story. After this, Jesus crossed the sea to Galilee, and a huge crowd was following him. A huge crowd, not from Gauteng, but from Galilee. Because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick, by the fact that you live close to the sea. So Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover Jewish festival was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed the huge crowd coming towards him, who felt like that over December, SMS is WhatsApp, oh, ons mis julle, lank laas gesien, wat doen julle oor die feesttyd? In other words, what are you guys doing over the festive season? Family from Gauteng coming down. I'm just saying for the English guys that don't catch the Afrikaans. Felt like this moment that Jesus got. He looked up and he noticed a huge crowd coming towards him and asked Philip, where will we buy bread so these people can eat? Liefie, waar gaan ons kos kry vir al hierdie Gautengers wat kom kuier? He had a moment, but he was only testing. Philip answered, 200 denarii. Now the denarii, one denarii was about, and I just read up a little bit about it, was about the wages that one guy would have earned for one day's labor, full days of work. In other words, 200 denarii, they say, would have been the labor, the amount that you would have received for labor for a year's work. So that's a lot of money. For some of us, more than others. Some of you might think, wow, this buy a geld, but that means that, yeah, you know what that means. Some of us think, yeah, well, that's kind of a lot of money. But it is a lot of money if you can think that it is a year's salary that they had to be used to buy bread, and it would not be enough. Worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many? Then Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. 5,000 men. And they didn't come alone. It wasn't mighty men. It wasn't Angus Bucking speaking. It was Jesus. It was families. So 5,000 men, women and children. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers that nothing is wasted. How awesome is that? He can make food supernaturally, yet he still has the heart to say, collect that it's not wasted. Some weird thought that, arbitrary thought that I had about that. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, this really is a prophet who was to come into the world. Now, I jokingly refer to the Gautengers coming over and etc. We all have been in situations where you think, well, ends, I'm not sure how ends are going to meet. Had a problem, even with a person or a relationship. It need not be a monetary issue. But we've all faced these issues. And the question is, where does our hearts go to? Even the disciples following Jesus up until that stage, first thought that came up, money. What do we do? Face a problem. How much money will fix this? Where does our hearts go? That's not what the sermon is about at all. But it's just a bit of an add-on, just to make sure that that we check where our hearts are. The disciples immediately thought, so hook, line, and sinker, they kind of fell for that test. They flunked the test that Jesus gave them because he knew already what he was going to do. However, there was a little boy. Imagine the situation. You guys have this amazing time together. 5,000 men, throw a kinnis. We're stretched just to sort out kids' church that everybody is happy. These days, I need to make sure that there's a little bit of cake. Imagine 5,000 guys, women, and children. Just a logistical nightmare that is, and that you have a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's just amazing how the little natural resources that we have do not determine the supernatural outcome that God can give. Have you noticed that in this world, many times the people with a lot, that really has a lot, actually has very little. And sometimes the people that in this world has barely something are actually stinking filthy rich. It is a funny anomaly, and we just need to constantly check our hearts and our minds about these things. But the best part here is that there was another guy, and his name was Jesus. There was a little guy, a little boy, who brought the natural, but there was another guy, Jesus, that's still around, whose spirit lives inside of each and every one of you, who brought the supernatural. Natural and super. Supernatural. Very deep theological argument there, but no, it's not. It's a joke. You bring your natural, God brings his super, and it becomes supernatural. It's really not that difficult. But do we actually believe that when you have little, you can have much? And do we actually believe that when you have much, you can have little? Or do we just nod and smile in church? And then we go forth trying to make much out there. A little boy's little lunch dedicated to God, used by Christ, was massive. Yeah, we had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's worth nothing really. But in God's hands, it fed 5,000. What is the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that you have in your hands? What is the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that you have in your hands? And what is the way in which you are holding them? What are you doing with your lunch? What are you doing with your lunch? What expectation do you have for the lunch in your hands? What is the expectation of this God that we kept on singing is good, is good, is good, is good, is good? What is the expectation that you have of him? If your expectation of your lunch in the context of God is to be filled this afternoon with love and respect, you'll probably only be filled this afternoon. You can talk about 10 rand, you can talk about your job, you can talk about your talent. Even your hurts, even the old bondage, even the old sins that you've been freed up of and still have the marks on your back, even those, I believe, can be loaves and fishes. What is your expectation of that? Am I going to be a victim forever? Or am I actually going to place this thing that I was a victim of in God's hands and become the jailer that's got the key to thousands of people out there? You've got a Joyce Myers that was habitually just year after year abused by her own father. Ek wil amper sê, sy het vrot lunch gekry. That is a raw deal. Not even loaves and fishes. Yet, in the hands of a master, in the hands of Jesus Christ, in the hands of God, today, I believe she's, metaphorically speaking, the jailer that's got the keys to unlock thousands and thousands upon thousands of people. That is the God I serve. That is the expectation that I have. What is the expectation with love? What is the expectation that you have of this God? What is the expectation? A couple of other guys that gave their whole lives, that consecrated their whole lives. I'm just going to name them. You can think up, you know the stories. John the Baptist. What a story. Wore camel leather belt and garments, ate locusts and honey, was a bit of a freak and a weirdo to the locals, but yet he set the stage. He paved the road for Christ, for the Messiah to come into the world. He prepared repentant hearts to turn to Christ. Noah. Zoe can come and tell you the story. But Noah, what an awesome guy. A consecrated life, a consecrated season in his life that saved who? You and me. Amongst others. Moses, Abraham, the father of faith. Guys, we're sitting here and we have a blessing. It might be a tiny little ripple effect, but we're receiving a blessing according to the world, a word from the father of faith called Abraham. One guy that said, this might not be worth much to me or to the world, but consecrated in his hands, being loaves and fishes in God's hands, yes, I'll follow. He's still to this day blessing the nations. Elijah and the widow. Do you remember the story in 1 Kings where he gets to the widow? She's got enough oil and enough flour to have make one bread for her and her son to eat and then to die. That's what he's saying. It's much like what you shared this morning. Scorched land, all burnt out. This is my last. I'm going to have it and die. Either have it and die or put it in God's hands. Put your last in His hands and see what happens. And she did exactly that. Elijah came to her and said, well, just before you make that bread and eat it and die, I want some of that. Who of us will get offended by that? It's my last cheeseburger. We probably had this fight before. Nobody's going to die, as you can see. Well, especially not me. And yet, in that moment, we'll be highly offended if this is the last of the last of the last in drought. And yet, a prophet of God says, well, give it to me. I want to eat it. He would have wanted to slap him silly. But no, she doesn't. She bows her knee to the will of the king. She says, no, this little bit that I do have, I'll consecrate to my king. I'll set it apart to my king. What happens? They lived day in and day out for how long? Until the rains came again. The oil didn't dry up. The flour never went out. Do you want your flour not to go out? Do you want your oil not to dry up? I believe place it in the right hands and leave it there. Leave it there. There's other people like Paul, Smith Wigglesworth, modern day guys. Man, go read his stuff. It's just crazy. Consecrated lifestyle, what he saw, what he did. Our own Angus Buchan. How awesome is that? A drunkard, a guy that was blaspheming left, right, and center. You know the movie, you know the potatoes, you know all the story. A consecrated life to the king. And there's many guys, many people that our age and older, especially the older men, and you rock up and you see this guy actually knows the Lord, spirit-filled. You hear the things that come out of their mouth. You ask, well, where did everything happen? Many times. Not always, but many times. It was at a mighty man. How many guys have I met that got radically saved or touched by the Lord at a mighty man? It was one consecration of one life, one farmer way back that blessed our nation, that is blessing the world. Oh, any of you guys, anything different than Angus Buchan? Anything different? Yes, I'm female. You're obviously that. But I believe, in essence, a son or a daughter of God. Are you any different than Angus Buchan? Catherine Kuhlman, Todd White. Who has seen any of the testimonies or read anything from Todd White? Amazing. Amazing. Drug addict. He's got dreads that comes down to his boulder. It's just not the run-of-the-mill oak that you would think, but he just goes for it. And God uses his loaves and fish. Quickly, what is consecration? We obviously need to be a bit academic as well. Consecration is very easy to understand. It's something that is set apart. It's something that is dedicated, or a dedication of something. Something that is set apart for a different use. Edna might have a set of knives and forks that is used every day, and then something that is set apart, dedicated for occasions when you guys come over, or the king, or the president, or whomever. Something that is dedicated for a different use. The Bible says, "You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." That's in Leviticus. It's not on there. There's a lot said in the Word, and we can't go through all of it about what consecration is and how many times God calls us to be consecrated. Consecrated, to be set apart. Obviously, my life, being in ministry, need to be set apart. But I believe that when you say yes to Jesus, you indirectly say yes to be totally consecrated to the Lord. Are we doing anything different, anything new? Are we adding anything extra today? No, not at all. Not at all. We're actually just reaffirming what we already have done, saying yes to Jesus. I hope that makes sense. But it's good to remind ourselves, our timetables, our year, our season, and then obviously the spiritual realm, that this that God has given me, or this that God has made me to be, this I consecrate, I set apart, I dedicate to the King. Just a little asterisk. In the process this morning, I don't want us to do this willy-nilly. Just because three people or one person comes to the front to sit down and decide, I want to rededicate, I want to consecrate and set apart my life or this specific thing to the Lord does not mean we all have to run. I think it's something we really need to consider deeply in our hearts. It's not an emotional thing. It's something to say, lock eyes with the Lord, be in the Spirit, and say, God, what is it that you need from me? I believe you consecrate, many times you would consecrate yourself or things in your life to that which you actually serve, to the God that you actually serve. I think you get the gist of that. But if you go through your life and you're wondering about what's this consecration thing, what's up with that, just look at your time, just look at your money, just look at your efforts, just look at your thought life, where it's currently at, and you'll note where your consecration lies already. If my hobby takes all my time, if my hobby takes all my money, if my hobby takes all of my thought process, I can unfortunately bet you my bottom dollar that you have consecrated your life to that hobby. And it is in fact your God. I believe we've all been called to holy, our whole being consecrated that, and say, Lord, this is yours for your lordship. But out of that also flows a secondary place where we can then afresh come and say, Lord, I've got a new business. I've got a new job, God. I come and I consecrate it. I set it apart for you. Now, in consecration, if you look to the Word, you go through the Old Testament, and it has not changed in the New Testament, I believe. Narina, she's got a braai. I'm not invited. I'm not offended. But she doesn't have a braai casserole. Who knows a good old braai casserole? Hers got stolen or broken, or she comes from Canada, they don't braai. So she phones me up and says, hey, Retief, can I just please use your casserole? I say, yes, please. No problem, just send Willem, put him on his bicycle, tell him to come. He can put it on his Fitz carrier and then come get it at my place. When he rocks up, what do I give him? I braaied last night. There's fat stains, there's all this gross, the thing is dirty. I braaied last night. Do I just quickly throw out the leftovers or the bones, give it to the dog, and then say, hey, Willem, please give that to Narina to use for your braai tonight? Do I do that? No, I don't. What do I do? No, Narina, I don't have a braai bak. No, I don't do that either. She picks in the spirit, so I know, well, I'm doomed either way. I ask my wife to wash it. No, I'm joking. I wash the braai bak myself. to be a blessing unto her, to use it for a specific braai use. I wash it first. I make sure it doesn't smell like last night's vors anymore. I cleanse it first. And likewise in the word, you'll see, before we consecrate anything to God, there needs to happen what? A cleansing. Now, in the olden days, in the Old Testament, it was what was quite a process. And you know the law, and we're not going to go into the detail. But today, especially as well, when we consecrate something to the Lord, I've read too much. I shouldn't read so much. Too many English words. When we consecrate something to the Lord, we need to make sure we give it to Him clean. Perfect? No, definitely not, but clean. And that is so beautiful for me in the Word. To cleanse is to separate from sin. For us, to cleanse is to separate from sin. But to consecrate is to separate it to God, or to set it apart to God. So remember these two words. Cleansing, consecrating. Cleansing, consecrating. Very easy, and they go hand in hand. How do we, as believers, followers of Christ, how do we cleanse ourselves? If I say, Lord, I want to go into full-time ministry, or Lord, please use me this morning to preach the gospel, or Lord, please use me as a cell leader, what do I do? Do I shower? Do I brush my teeth? Yes, we do. We start there, but that's not the real thing. Please, we do. We buy bubble gum because our wife tells us, buy bubble gum. We do all of those things, but it's a spiritual cleansing. We say, Lord, I've missed it. I've sinned a lot. So please, come and wash me clean. Do I do that with a self-righteous brush? Do I scrub it off by being self-righteous, by doing everything perfect? No. I just re-invite Jesus Christ. I say, Lord, your blood, your blood, your blood. What are we going to do this morning shortly? Before we consecrate, we're going to wash. We're going to cleanse. We're going to take the blood of the Lamb and say, cleanse me from my hidden faults. Cleanse me from my sins. So that what? I can be a squin braaibak to you, Lord. And we're going to eat of His flesh to become clean again. So cleansing and consecrating. Four elements that I've just placed up there, put up there for of consecration is the following. Just to, and this is why I said earlier, we shouldn't do this willy-nilly. Hulle sê in Afrikaans, jy moet oop oë in 'n ding ingaan. Now I want to ask you this morning, go into this with your eyes open. Not skeptical, not fearful. God is a good God. But the word also speaks about counting the cost. If I say, Lord, here's my life, here's my family, do whatever you want to. And He says to me, Thailand for 30 years. I need to know what I'm saying to the Lord. If I say, Lord, I'm not my own, I am yours. Or this money that you've given me, God, I consecrate, I just give it back. It's in any way, as I'm charat, it's in any event yours. And he comes around and he says, well, sow 10,000 or sow 20,000 or sow 5 rand or sow 50 rand of that. Count the cost as we consecrate. Four elements and they're going to come up. First one is surrender. Oh, I just love that. If you just click, it'll come up. I shouldn't do these things fancy. I'll keep it basic next week. Surrender. First element of consecration is surrender. Let's go back to our boy. Here's 5,000 wimmies, tannies and kinders. And apparently it looks like I'm the only one with lunch. It's a bit of a weird story, yes I know. But there's a place, he was hungry himself. In fact, hello, ek het vir myself gesorg, is julle simpel? Hoekom het julle nie by 7-Eleven gestop nie? But there was a place where he had to surrender what he had. Funny enough, I don't read in the word that Jesus said, give me one of the barley loaves and one of the fish. He could have still done the same miracle. Funny enough, I believe he took everything. 5 loaves, 2 fish. What would I have done? Jesus, kan ek asseblief net 'n halwe visie en 'n halwe broodjie hou asseblief, Jesus? Ek is ook honger. But no, he had to surrender all. And then he gained all. I believe that's a real spiritual truth for many of us. Sometimes you need to release all, and you will gain all. You will not gain alone. 5,000 men, women, and children will gain with you, but you need to surrender all. Are we in that place where we can trust Him to that degree? And if we're not, we're going to wait. We're going to say, Lord, help me that I can come to that place where I can surrender all. The irony is, there was no losers in this story. The boy didn't lose out. In fact, there was 12 baskets full left over. He could have taken back 6 times as much to his mom and say, hey, kijk daar, kry vir jou. There was absolutely no losers in this story. When you come, when you consecrate, when you give away, when you set apart for God and His use, I believe, maybe not immediately, it will not feel like that always, but eventually, and in eternity, there will be no losers. If you truly consecrate something to God, there cannot be a loser. That is not the God I serve. God is a good God. He is a faithful, supernatural dad that is true to His word. And we see it over and over and over again. Yes, God said to us, give me your careers. He didn't say it as such, but obviously we had to consecrate our careers to move out and to keep on following Him in Malmesbury. In that moment, I felt like an absolute loser. I felt like losing every day, but yet God knew better. Jesus tested, but He knew what He was going to do. God tested, but He knew what He was going to do. Today, I can look back and say, I've not been a loser any way, shape, form, or size. None whatsoever. There's no losers. Ownership. Ownership. When you consecrate, I believe you truly give ownership away. Gerard was just on the money this morning. That nice car. God, but it's yours. Okay, buy a smaller one. Use the rest of the cash and bless that guy with a car as well. Just jokes, Lord. Sometimes our hearts get tested on these things. You give up ownership. I love, somebody said it way back, that as a Christian, you own owner of nothing, steward of all. Just think about it. I'm actually truly, if I'm a son of God, I'm actually owner of nothing, steward of all. Am I only the steward of the money that I have and the possessions that I have in my possession? Am I only the steward of that? No, I'm not. I'm a steward of what my dad has. Some guys, Dirk, you notice a loophole there. But you've got access to so much more. But it's a hard thing. It's not about them all, but you've got access to so much more. Owner of nothing, steward of all. Gerard himself said, "Hey, Bible, this morning, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God, and I'm His son, so I can be a steward of all." It brings a great release. Third element of consecration. When we do consecration, what are we doing? We're enthroning Christ. We are enthroning Christ. In other words, we're saying, in this world, I am king. The attitude of our culture is, I am king, I am Lord. And I am Lord of myself and over myself. My mouth, the things I do, my Facebook, my social status, my sexual behavior, my non-sexual behavior, my car, my money, etc. I am God. Yet if you come and you consecrate, you set apart, you dedicate anything to the Lord, especially your whole being, you're actually saying, I'm enthroning Jesus. It involves glorifying Christ, enthroning Him. Crown Him Lord of all, says Hudson Taylor. If you do not crown Him Lord of all, you do not crown Him Lord at all. I'm going to repeat that. Crown Him Lord of all, Hudson Taylor said. If you do not crown Him Lord of all, you do not crown Him Lord at all. It's not just cute because it rhymes. It's a bit challenging. But there's a massive, massive place of expectation on the other side of that. And as I said, I think a couple of weeks back, is I cannot make that decision for you. I cannot even make that decision for my children. It's hard to believe. It's a tough one. But each one of us need to make that decision for ourselves. Galatians 2:20, you know the scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does that mean? Today we're here to consecrate something to the Lord. But when I said yes to God, I actually said this. It is no longer a thief that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. One thing to confess it, to chat about it at church. It's another thing to live it. But you don't have to do it on your own. Trust the Holy Spirit to take you to a place of freedom, to take us in all areas of our lives to a place of lordship of Christ, where we can say, you know what, even these accusations, even persecution, even tough times, because they do come, the word says, even in the midst of all of these things, I can truly just say, well, it's no longer a thief that lives, which Christ lives in me. In the life I now live by faith, I live for Christ. It means dethroning self. And I never knew that it's got such a big hold on one, but cultural dethroning is massive. There's so much idolatry, and I love my culture, by the way. I love my culture. What is good and godly of it. But there's a lot of dethroning of your cultural idolatry that needs to take place. Sorry, guys, but it's one or the other. Culture is good. I'm talking about when culture is sin, there is a problem. But it's a chat for another day. If my statement offends you, please just come and chat to me first before you're offended. But I had to make a couple of tough decisions. But I was led and helped along the way by God. Next one, just quickly, the fruit. And this is what I need to just catch hold of faith. Just catch hold of the substance quickly for me in this moment. Because otherwise we're just going to do a religious act just now. And we're not here for a religious act. We're here to change. We're here for the next Angus Buckins to stand up and for just the next us to stand up. The fruit of consecration is what? And we see it in the Word. We see it in modern day believers that lays down everything for God. It brings forth life. It brings forth life. You can be on a golf course today and you can, at this moment, you cannot believe in God and you can be really, really rich, but you can also be very lonely on that golf course today. I've got nothing against golf. I just can't play it, but other than that, don't have too much against it. You can have everything in this world, yet have nothing this morning. Consecration will always bring life. Consecration will bring multiplication. My 5 barley loaves and my 2 fish will not stay the same. It can never stay the same. If I place anything in these hands of God, metaphorically speaking, I will never receive it back the same again. I believe in multiplication. And it's not a prosperity gospel approach. It's just the living truth of the Word of God. Multiplication. And not always, sorry, just by the way, not always the way we expect. The multiplication that I've seen in my life was not necessarily always the way I thought it's going to be. So just take heed. Little warning. Fruit of consecration, the kingdom will come. The Lord's Prayer is, let the kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. If you consecrate, if you truly give over. Just on that point, where does consecration these days primarily happen? It happens there in the chest cavity called the heart. That's where it takes place. True consecration. You guys can run up and you say, Retief ek gee alles vir die Here. We can make a big hoo-ha about it. And yes, there's truth in essence to that. We step it out in faith. We show it's a public declaration. But true consecration is a heart thing and it happens daily. Over and over and over. You need to, even when it's tough, you say, Lord, I set that apart for you. There was a time where Hannah didn't have a child, and she so desperately wanted a boy. She so desperately wanted a child. And promised that if you give me a son, if you give me a child, I'll give him to you. I'll dedicate, I'll consecrate my son to you. There was a time that it actually happened that she needed to go up to Eli and say, I need to honor what I said to God. I consecrated this young boy. I'm sure for a mother that could not have been, he was 7, I think he was quite young, very young in fact. That could not have been an easy thing for a mom to do. But there was a place where she said, and that's what it literally meant, to consecrate her son Samuel to God. Consecration will always lead to eternal value. Let's finish off. Next slide. Just a couple of thoughts. You can make up your own. His lunch, the little boy, was food for thousands. His seed was there full. Abram's faith was a blessing for me, you, and the nations. Your seed can be somebody's provision. Your water can become God's wine. Your obedience can be somebody's salvation. Your song can be somebody's key and freedom. His cross became my bridge to God. His pain, your healing. His tears became your joy, and his death became your life. That is the God we serve. He's not out wanting to take your loaves and fishes. He's not out to steal your lunch. He's not a bully God. He's out to take your lunch, multiply it, and give more back to you. So that what? Firstly, you can get to know him. Joshua 3:5. Beautiful. Israel stuck in the desert 40 years. At Eit Eindelik, they get to a place where they're going to go through the Jordan into the promised land. Joshua says this to him. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This I boldly want to say in faith to this church. Consecrate yourself because God will do wonders amongst you. Not me, not Edna, not people, but God. As we consecrate our lives and our hearts truly to God, he will do wonders amongst us. And that is what I'm putting out my faith for. And that is what I believe God is saying to this church as well. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Can I ask just two gentlemen and two ladies, as you led, just to please quickly help us to hand out the communion. So everyone spill. Thank you. And if there's somebody in the mother's room that's got a hand or something, somebody that can just go and bless them with communion. Thank you, man. Thanks. I don't want this to have a formula. I want this to be led individually by the Holy Spirit. So what are we going to do is, a suggestion is this, is that you take the elements, and on your own, or even husband and wife or friends together, if you would like to first to cleanse. Even cleanse your whole family. Say, Lord, please come and cleanse us. Set us apart from sin so that we can what? Be holy unto you, consecrate to you. And then you can decide. Then pray about it. I'm going to be here in front, and I'm going to ask the cell leaders once they spend some time with the Lord to come. And if you say, I want to consecrate my whole life again to God. I want to consecrate everything to him. You can come forward and we're going to anoint you and pray with you. But know the decision that you make afresh. It's not a new one, but it's a bold, fresh statement. If there's something in your life, like a business or your hobby or your guitar that you would like to consecrate, your talent, you want to consecrate something to God, I would suggest saying that to the Lord, spending time with him, and just connect with somebody then. Just go up to Nick and say, you're good, just to be accountable. God's really, he's given me this talent with finances, and I would just like him to consecrate it to him, to be set apart and used by the Lord to bless me. So this is just what I'm giving to the Lord. You guys can pray with together. So I'm just going to recap quickly. It's not a formula, guys. Thank you. Don't rush this to get home. This is life. This is part of one of your little boy moments where you can say, here's the 5 barley loaves, here's the 2 fish, have your way. You don't have to argue. So let's go have communion and then decide. If you'd like to say, my whole life I'd like to reconsecrate to the Lord, you can come forward and pray with us. Okay. Spend some time with the Lord. As I said, if there's something, some element of your life that you're just giving to God and consecrating that to Him, share that with somebody this morning. But if you feel like just your entire being, you would like to reconsecrate to God, just reconnect with Him and rededicate yourself to a loving Father, one that is good, one that you can trust, I want to invite you forward and to come stand here in front, and we can anoint you and pray with you, and agree with you in prayer, because I believe there's power in that. There's power in a moment where you just afresh say, here's my lunch, here's my 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then we trust, and then we come expectant in faith that God will do exceedingly above what we can imagine in our lives. And then it just keeps coming back. I believe there's some of us that God is calling you to consecrate your past. You got hurt, and it's not pleasant. It's almost a dark place to you, but set it apart for Him to sort out the mess, to turn it around, and to use it to feed others. So if there's somebody here that God wants you to take your past in a consecrated fashion and to bring life and eternal value from your past, so give it to Him. Don't be ashamed. Don't fear.